Our New Testament reading is taken from the Gospel according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord Jesus and said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Why do you read the Bible? I ask myself too, why do I read the Bible? Do I read it to learn the history of God, his chosen people, and his plan for all of us? Or to read biography of Jesus' life? Or to randomly open the Bible and see verse or verses which are so appropriate to the situation that you're in, they speak to you? Perhaps for all of these reasons. But John invites us to approach his gospel not solely as history or biography, not seeking information, but as people seeking God. John is like a skillful TV editor selecting highlights from a sparkling event and adding a meaningful commentary. He trusts in the picture he paints of Jesus that the trail of signs that he leaves pointing us in the right direction will enable us to see that the person who could speak, teach and heal like this man could be none other than the Son of God. He assures us that there is enough in his gospel to foster faith as a valid fulfillment of all the hopes in the Old Testament and reveal Jesus as the Son of God. But there's more personal. He wrote for each one of us, so that in Jesus as our Saviour, we will have the true life that is only available in his name. Jesus said to Thomas, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet come to believe. As Christians, we know that our journey through life is a constant test of faith and effort. Yet it's encouraging to know that Thomas, who had witnessed miracles, still had his doubts, just as at times we have our doubts. And I remember singing with the children, "Jesus is waiting, patiently waiting, waiting at our heart's closed door, and he will return to us." But isn't it reassuring for us to have a message of encouragement? Jesus commends those who are believing without seeing, future generations, that's us, as blessed. And when we read, "Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet come to believe," read, "and go on believing." It's a lifetime pursuit. We are the mystical body of Christ, but even a mystical body needs bones. The words of the Creed are the bones keeping the body in shape as we regularly recite it. The Nicene Creed begins, "We believe," because we are reciting it together as the corporate body of Christ. We are reconnecting with an order of events and recommitting ourselves to our belief in them. So even as we recite together in this way, we can enter into this recitation as a personal statement. "I believe." And listen to what we're saying. Let's just stop and think. At any time as we recite the Creed, there can be what I call a moment of wonder. When we hear what we are saying and understand what we're hearing. When we just stop and wonder at that discovery. It may only be a heartbeat of a moment. But if we pause, we'll be out of step as the rest of the congregation moves on. But is it wrong to pause if that's what we need to do? The sacrament of the present moment, that is our moment of wonder. We can remain silent and relish that moment of enlightenment. In my mind, when I say, "I believe in one God," it's not that I just believe in his existence, but that I believe in him. And that's an act of love on my part and on his part. Let me just take you back many years when I taught the young people in the Essex home tuition team. At times I was given excluded pupils. They were bad lads, but I did like them. And when you look at their family history, they had such a poor start. And as I taught them, I prayed that I would also come to believe in them. So I could say, "I believe in you, Lawrence," or "I believe in you, Stuart, because you have the potential to have a good life using the gifts that you've been given. In my eyes, you're not a lost cause, and I will work hard to help you. And I trust in you to work hard with me." Trust is the key word that we had between us. When I say I believe in one God, I'm saying I trust him. I put my life in his hands. And to close, I'd like to tell us about another message of encouragement, this time from the letter of the Hebrews. But first of all, I want to show you something. Now, this is absolutely ridiculous as a visual aid because you can't see it except Paula. But I'll tell you what it is. It's a pebble which was given to me by my dear friend Anna at Easter. And in ordinary poster paint, she has painted the word hope. And she's done a lovely pattern on the back. Hope. And it's a lovely pebble to hold as I pray. And hope is what keeps us afloat, isn't it? Hope that all the promises that have been made on our behalf will be fulfilled. And what else have I got to show you? You'll be able to see this a bit better. It says, faith. Faith is the assurance of what we hope for and the certainty of what we cannot see. Faith is the assurance of what we hope for, and faith is the certainty of what we do not see. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Amen.